All right. Welcome to another episode of Malaprops and Moxie. This is Tay Flo. Thank you for coming back and listening. Today's topic for Malaprops in real life is on the idea that, you know, a lot of us have had these daily routines. We go on walks, we go to the gym, we eat out, we eat in, yada, yada, yada. And we've all heard of the freshman 15, but now we're talking about the quarantine 15. What do we do when our daily life and activities have completely shifted and now we are foraging the entire fridge for food and trying to stay healthy whilst eating chips all day? So my guest today, I'm going to call you, should I call you by your name, your nickname? I don't know. So I'm going to call him G. This is G. Perez. And he is, he's a really good friend of mine. I met him through a gym here in Charlotte. He doesn't live in Charlotte anymore, but we have kept in touch, and this kid has more knowledge about like nutrition and eating and all sorts of stuff. So I asked him to be on. So G, tell the folks at home who you are, what you do, and maybe a little bit about like how you acquired all this knowledge.
All right, sure. Thank you, Tayflo. Thanks for having me. It's super exciting to like see you. It's been forever. But yeah, so as you said, G is short for Gerardo. That's the anglicized version of it. If you want to get fancy with it, it's Gerardo, right? It's a Spanish name. But yeah, so we met, I was a trainer at a gym. And I think we really connected when we were like, oh wait, you're plant-based. Oh man, me too. Right. And, so yeah, that's where we really kind of connected. At that point, I think I had been 100% vegan for like 8 years. And it had been like a decade since I've been primarily plant-based. So that's part of it. You know, just I'm a nerd in that way. And I like anytime something piques my interest, I'll dig for as much information as I possibly can and try to get like the best understanding and like real knowledge founded in like science and facts about anything, whether it's working out or, you know, nutrition, or pandemics, right? But I guess, you know, like educational background wise, so I double majored in biology and psychology in undergrad, with the goal of eventually going to med school. And let's see, I worked for, 5 years, in the medical world as a medical interpreter. So that, I guess, kind of helped solidify a lot of like the just kind of baseline, like medical knowledge that I gained over the years. I did a master's program through Drexel's College of Medicine. And while I was doing that, took a bunch of like super interesting courses, like biochemistry, advanced cell biology. I was the TA for human physiology for graduate students while I was doing that program. So acquired a lot of knowledge and helped teach a lot about how, you know, the human body works and like the biochemical processes that underlie a lot of the stuff that our bodies do. And yeah, so I, you know, I've been in fitness forever, right? Whether it's training or boxing. And so that's definitely a passion of mine. And for a while, a lot of what I was helping to do was helping people hit their goals with regards to nutrition, fitness, and you know, managing their weight and things like that. So that's a little bit about my background and you know, how I kind of came to gather my info.
I like it. Awesome. I know. I remember like meeting you and being like, this kid has done some work as far as acquiring knowledge. Okay, so you know, I'm a innocent bystander, like participating in quarantining. I've gone to the grocery store, stocked up on like, well, here's the thing. I feel like in these times you go to the grocery store and there's this like weird sense of panic that you know what you need to get, but then you also are going to your indulgent cravings for some reason because you think like you need more comfort food and like you're going to get bored. So like Pop-Tarts sound like a good idea and like all this stuff. So I don't know, like what could you give as far as advice to people who are like going to these grocery stores and like what, where do we start? Like, what do we get? What is a good way to stock up the fridge, I guess?
Yeah, you probably, and your listeners have probably heard this a bunch. Stay on the periphery of grocery stores, right? Like, stay away from those middle aisles. I mean, maybe not stay away, but like, that's where you're gonna run into the most problematic things, is in those middle aisles. That's where like all the packaged and overly processed quote unquote foods are. And I say quote unquote because like, yes, they have nutritional value in the sense that they give you calories, but a lot of those packaged foods are so far removed from like their natural state that it's almost unrecognizable in terms of like what they even are, right? So Pop-Tarts, like what is a Pop-Tart, right? Like it's sugar and maybe flour and some fat. Like that's what a Pop-Tart is. So like, of course that's not going to be the best, but I definitely, I mean, and this isn't my like way of passing judgment on anybody. Like it's, I think it's human nature to gravitate towards those things that we're familiar with and give us like comfort in some ways, especially with regards to food. So like, I get it, but especially in times like these is when you want to be as careful as possible, because like, you know, I think we were talking about it a little bit and you mentioned it, Tinkle, like we're for the most part much less active than we normally are right now when we're quarantining, right? I mean, I think it's rare for people to be like, you know what, I'm going to use this time super productively and I'm going to like pick up a new routine or like you know, amp up my current routine. It's just not realistic. So with that considered, you don't want to have that double whammy of like, I'm less active and now I'm going to make like even poorer decisions about the food that I'm putting in my body.
Yeah.
So I think that's one way to look at it is like, okay, the things that I like, the things that give me comfort, is there a way that I can like make it on my own? So that I can control like what's in it. And not only that, but like, what's in it. And hopefully you're like, well, I want to do as much sugar as what might be in this thing if it were prepackaged. But think about the time it'll take you to make something that would resemble like a packaged processed food. Right. And so you can think of that time as being, you know, productive and like, rather than just sitting there and like gorging on things that's already like, you know, there and ready for you to grab and go, you can use some of your time to put into like making something.
Yeah.
And I think maybe gain a greater appreciation for that.
I've seen a lot of people like posting like, I tried to learn how to make this and I'm cooking bread. Like, it's so cool that this does give us the time to like get on Pinterest and grab a recipe and like, yeah, DIY our food, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think in terms of like, let's say you went to the grocery store and like, I guess against your own best interest and like, you know, own better judgment, you bought all the chips, right? And you bought all of the, all the junk food that you probably wouldn't have otherwise. If you are going to do that, right? Okay, now you're back home. Now you have that stuff in your pantry or in your fridge. You know it's there. One of the mistakes that people make, and I'm guilty of it, I think you've all done it, is that like we don't decide in advance how much we're going to have of something.
Yeah.
When we make that decision to eat something, right?
Yeah.
Usually it's, well, screw it. Here I am. It's quarantine. Like, who cares, right? YOLO, right? And they'll just have the whole bag of chips in front of them. And if you couple that with like binge watching Tiger King, or you know, any other crazy stuff on Netflix, you're just, it's mindless eating, right? Like, we're not even hungry. We're not fulfilling necessarily any like nutritional need. It's just like, you know, habit that we're just going from bag to mouth, bag to mouth, bag to mouth. And before you know it, half of the bag is gone, right? So I think if you're able to make a decision and be kind of mindful of how much you are going to consume before you actually start doing it, that's a good way to scratch that itch, right? Of like, I want to eat some junk food, mm-hmm. but also not overdoing it at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. I like left for a walk one day and I grabbed, you know, those, they're like peanut butter puffs from Trader Joe's. They're called Bombas. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, they're like 99 cents a bag. So I buy like four or five at a time. And I took one, a bag that had not been opened on a walk. And by the end of the walk, that bag was gone. Like, cause I just was like, well, I got to eat the rest because then I can throw it in someone else's trash bin. Like, what the heck? And I looked at the calories and I was like, I mean, I think it was like, I don't even know, probably close to like 500 calories. And I'm like, Jesus, yeah. Like, and I'm not even like yep. full. Like I ate all those and they didn't give me anything.
Exactly.
Bad news bears.
That is also the challenge with these like overly processed foods, is that they're so calorically dense, but they're not like volume-wise filling. And so those little puffs that are, you know, probably fit in your hand, like you could have eaten, I don't know, four salads with like, you know, a healthy dressing and mm-hmm. gotten just as many calories out of it, but been full way before, right?
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Like if as it relates to snacking, like mm-hmm. obviously we're all going to do it. And I know that like, even if people are in the grocery store and they're planning semi healthy quote unquote meals, like they've got like normal meals planned, but then they get to the point where they're like, should we grab some snacks? And then that's, I think, where you like go on the slippery slope, like you mentioned earlier. Like, are there things that are better to snack on than what's in like the middle of the grocery store? Like, what do you recommend for snacking?
Yeah. So I think nuts are great because, and again, especially if they're just minimally processed. Mm-hmm. Right? So like, I'm not talking about like chocolate covered almonds here, right? It's like any sort of like mixture of different types of nuts is a good little snack. Also, again, planning is important, right? So like, I would recommend like trying to avoid snacking just for the sake of snacking, right? Don't just get bored and then go eat, because that's again when we tend to make some of the, you know, poor decisions about what we're eating. Plan it out, right? So if you know you typically have three big meals a day, break up the time in between those meals with like a very intentional snack. And so, you know, it seems boring, but think about how your meal is laid out, and you want to have, you know, X amount of like proteins, X amount of fats, maybe X amount of carbs, depending on the time of the day. If you can kind of mirror that with your snacks as well, it's usually a good bet. So like, you want to look for things that have, some protein in them. If it's earlier in the day, I tend to recommend that people like taper their carbs, just because it aligns better with your energy expenditure throughout the day. We just tend to expend less energy towards the end of the day. So you need fewer carbs toward the end of the day, typically. So think about that when you're snacking. It seems boring, but what I love as a snack is just like a protein shake, just mm-hmm. protein powder, like whatever your choice of like liquid is. I tend to use like a plant-based milk that is heavier in protein. And you'd be surprised by how filling that can actually be.
Yep. They totally fill me up for plenty of time. Anytime I go to grab those, it's such a good filler. And then you don't want to snack anymore because you're like, I'm kind of full.
right, exactly. Yeah. And it feels like it'll be sloshing around in your belly if you got too much going on, right?
Sick. I was going to ask you a question. Oh, so like, talk to us, because you were talking about like expenditure of calories and all that and energy. So like, I know I've heard, and you've obviously coached me along the way in my fitness journey, like it's less about how much you exercise and it's more about how much you eat kind of thing. Like you have to be focused on what you're putting in your body. And then obviously like activity is important. So like for those of us who aren't maybe doing like high intensity workouts every day, but are going on walks around the neighborhood. Like, could you tell a little bit more about how your body burns calories and like how it's good to do like, what is it called? Resting? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like when your body burns calories just from like walking from a parking space to the grocery store or like versus like doing burpees.
Yeah. Well, so like one way to think of it is, and I don't know how technical we want to get, but a lot of people might be familiar with BMR. So your basal metabolic rate. And think of your basal metabolic rate as the minimum amount of energy that your body requires, like all of the functions and processes of your body requires to just keep you alive, right? So just like to keep you breathing, to keep you warm enough, things like that, right? The BMR. So your basal metabolic rate, it's related to a lot of different factors. Factors like your height, your weight, your body composition of muscle to fat, and you know, things like that. But also, I mean, some of it is just genetic. You know, some of us just naturally have higher or lower BMRs than others. So think about that, right? So that's, you know, X amount of calories is what your body needs to live a day, right? Because it's spending that energy. It's spending that energy in the functions and the processes that go on. Right. So you need to have that. Now anything on top of that, then you likely want to account for, right? So let's say that that's the amount of energy that your body needs just from like sitting there, not moving, not doing anything, just breathing, right? And then any activity that you're adding to that is then going to increase the energy expenditure. So you want to take that into account with like the calories that you're consuming, okay? So if you are very active and you're exercising like vigorously, then odds are you're going to want to consume, you know, more calories to maintain.
Right.
If you are intentionally trying to lose weight, then the idea is that you want to burn more calories than you're taking in while also considering your BMR.
Right.
And so that's assuming you're trying to lose weight, right?
The quarantine 15.
Quarantine 15, right? But I don't like to simplify it way too much by saying like calories in versus calories out, because I always tell people not all calories are created equal.
Right.
Right. So the calories that you get from, you know, your just simple sugars and things like that, you're more likely to, if they're not used, just be turned into fat than something like protein. So yeah, that's the other thing to think about is like, what, you know, if you're going to consume, let's say just hypothetically 500 calories in a given meal or, you know, snack or something, how much of that should come from carbs? How much of that should come from fat? How much of that should come from protein?
Yeah.
And it partially depends on what you're trying to accomplish. If right now what you're trying to do is just maintain, then sure, like stick with the same level of activity that you have had in the past as much as possible. And if you can't, then think about reducing your caloric intake.
Maybe don't buy as many snacks from the grocery store.
Right. Or if you do, don't eat as much of it, right?
Yes, like what you said, like portion it out ahead of time. And then that way when you do want a snack, you go grab a little baggie and then it's like, okay, I have my portion control. Yeah.
And it's, if you think about it too, like people are like, man, these 5 pounds really snuck up on me. It seems like that, but it's really because it's so easy to overlook in your normal routine, where we're not talking about quarantine, how much activity you actually do, right? Like think about like waking up at a certain time, going through your like routine of getting ready, going to your mode of transportation. Maybe your mode of transportation is walking more than like somebody else's, right? Think about once you get to your place of work, right? How much are you moving there? So if you have all of a sudden had a change in your life where now maybe you're working from home, or maybe unfortunately you're not working at all, your actual activity level that you end up doing every day is considerably less than it was before, even if you weren't working out, right? Even if you didn't have like some crazy, like vigorous fitness routine or regimen. So that's why it seems like, man, these 5 pounds snuck up on me, but really they didn't, because it's like every single day, all of these things that you're doing activity wise add up to you using more and spending more like energy, using up more calories. So now if you're not doing those things and you're still consuming the same amount of calories as you were before, you're going to gain the weight.
Right.
Right. Like that's just naturally what's going to happen. You're not going to spend that energy.
Yeah.
So try to think of it in that way, like account for that. There are different ways that you can do it. It doesn't, you don't have to eat less than you were before. But if you don't, then make sure that you're matching or exceeding your energy expenditure.
Yeah. That,
you know, compared to what it was like before.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do that, you don't want to work out more, then just eat less. assuming you want to lose weight, or assuming you want to maintain.
Right, right.
Because I'm not making a judgment either way, and I'm not saying that people need to lose weight.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah. I'm not, I don't think, we're, well, I'm not taking it that way. I hope everybody listening isn't taking it that way. Okay, so in like trying to wrap up a little bit, is there anything that like, I don't know, is there anything that you feel like you want to give to people as far as like a sense of encouragement or like a last minute kind of, I guess, nugget of information?
I would say in terms of encouragement, like, I think that the thing to think about here during these times, right, and I'm going to get a little bit like preachy here, is that there are people who actually know what they're talking about. And what I mean here are scientists, researchers, medical professionals. They know what they're talking about with this stuff, right? So it sucks. It sucks to have your life turned upside down, and to have to like be cooped up in your house more than you ever would. And, you know, you feel the difference physically, mentally, emotionally. And it especially sucks if you have like lost your job or financially you've been impacted. But I promise you that scientists aren't lying to you, and they're not doing this for any sort of stupid conspiracy craziness, right? Mm. Like, this is a very real situation that is once in a lifetime, if not more, rare in terms of like the potential human impact that this pandemic can have. So please take it seriously. Mm. Like, you know, and it's just what's so weird about and different about this particular virus is that we just don't know enough about it. Like, it's so new to humans, and constantly we're hearing new symptoms, and the symptoms are so different for everybody. So it's like people might be like, oh yeah, I had it, I'm fine. Sure. But like, you're also not immunocompromised. You're also not 80 years old. Like, you know, a lot of folks are going to unfortunately die because of this. So right now what we're doing is just trying to minimize the amount of people that are dying from it. So like, please take it seriously. Know that we will make it, you know, to the other side of this. Like, you know, we'll get there, but it does require cooperation from folks and like thinking about others, not just yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Like, be considerate of others in this. And if, you know, if you're not able to maintain your fitness goals throughout this, know that eventually things will return to normalcy, and like, you can always get back there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, not like it's a lost cause, like all the progress you had been making previously is out the window and you can't recover it. You'll get there. Mm-hmm. You can. Right now, I think the most important thing is just like, hey, let's beat this as like, you know, as a whole together through this pandemic.
I love it. I think that's so true. Like, knowing that it's not the end. Like, if you do gain the quarantine 15, like, you can also get rid of that 15 afterwards once things get back to normal. So that was good advice, G. Oh my goodness. Okay. So, I'm going to leave us with a malaprop of the day. And I've kind of been thinking about this the whole time. So yesterday, after wearing sweatpants for 2 weeks, I decided to go into my bedroom and try on a pair of jeans. And I realized that the quarantine 15 had escalated quickly. Do you get it? Because isn't it supposed to be escalate?
No. So, yes. Okay.
Like escalade versus escalate.
So escalate with a T.
Yeah.
Is the term you're wanting to use.
Right.
So you pronounced it with a D?
Yes, I said escalated. But you're escalated. Right. That's tricky because T's and D's kind of do sound the same.
Yeah. Oh, look, I chalked it up as like, you just pronounced it like a lot of people do, and they know that there's a T there, but they pronounced it like a D.
Oh, no, I was definitely using the D in the word.
Got it. Okay. So, yeah, that's wrong.
You know what? Doing a malaprop with you is really intimidating because you are a grammar freak, and, like, you will call people out immediately if they're wrong.
But here's part of, I didn't include this other part of, like, my background. So I'm fluently bilingual. I've studied 5 languages, and I taught language. I taught Spanish. I continue to work in the, like, language world now to this day. And so, like, language is a very important thing to me. And so I try not to be, like, you know, a jerk about it. But I'm like, hey, just so you know. That should be YOU'RE.
Oh my gosh. Actually, I don't know how often you're like on Instagram or watch my stories, but the other day I was like posting about how a friend from my coworking space lent me this like equipment, and I wrote, I was lended, and my mom called me out and she's like, Taylor, you used a word incorrectly. It's lent. And I was like, nah, like lended. I lended her. She's like, no, it's lent. And I was like, okay, well, whatever. All my Instagram followers just saw that. So embarrassing. Yeah. Actually, that's a good malaprop. Like lended versus lent.
Yeah. Sometimes I just try to use like loaned to avoid it.
Ah, that's smart. Loaned? Yeah, would you say loaned?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, I don't. Actually, that's a good.
Well, until next time, we're going to let everyone ponder on that. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you back for another episode.
Thank you all.
This episode of Malaprops and Moxie was recorded at the Huga Coworking Podcast Studio. You can find them online at wearehuga.com, and that's spelled H-Y-G-G-E. The music was recorded and produced by Young Citizen. Thanks so much for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and write a review.